Father, we thank you again for today. What a great day you've given us to be in your house. And Lord, as we're here, I pray, Lord, that we will worship you truly, that we will clear our minds, we'll clear our hearts, and then what comes out of that is just true, authentic praise and honor and glory for you and only you. Because, God, you are so good to us. We love you for that. We thank you for that. Lord, the blessings that we recognize, but even the ones that we don't recognize, we just want to give you thanks today. And today being Father's Day, Lord, we do thank you for our grandfathers, our great-grandfathers, our fathers, our mentors through life. Lord, we just thank you for all of those. And Lord, we just pray that in the time that we have together this morning, that you are pleased with all that you hear and all that you see. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. And we love you, Holy Spirit. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. I was kind of thinking as Jackie asked that question about memories of your dad, and I had lots of memories. My dad was a hard worker. That's one of the things I remember about my dad. I remember we had about a 3-acre yard when I was a kid growing up, and I wasn't old enough yet to do this, but he would get out there in the heat of the day if he had to and mow that grass with an 18-inch push mower, almost 3 acres. Now think about that. So my dad was a hard worker. I also remember he had this very big double prong, not single prong, guys, double prong belt. I'm not going to say how I remember that, but he always wore that same belt on Sunday morning. It was white, you know, and I don't know if it's so I could see it coming. I don't know, but I remember he had that thing for years, and I remember when it finally broke one day, and he was very sad that his double prong, and he was not a big guy. He wasn't as big as I am, but, you know, I don't know. Maybe I needed double prong belts. I don't know. But anyway, I just thought I would share that. I was just thinking about this morning. We've been talking for a little over a month now about this word honor. And, it's not a word that we really talk about a lot or mention a lot. We think about it, I think, sometimes. So today we're going to kind of close out that series. If you think back, we began this series, we learned that word is not widely used. We learned that honor is not used often because of what it really brings with it. Because to truly bring honor, guess what? It brings us to a place that sometimes we're not ready to go to. So when we talk about honor, sometimes it's not used or thought about anymore because of what that means or what it brings with us. But in terms of our faith, in terms of who we are as Christians, in terms of Christianity, honor is based on God's covenant calling. And if you think back, Moses reminded us that honor must be a way of life for God's people. And this, I believe, was the intention behind this series. I feel like God wanted to remind us that honor must be a part of who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. It must be something that we think about each day. So as we celebrate and honor fathers today, on this day, let's remember that original calling. Let's return to that calling, not to repeat what we said a few weeks back, but to build upon it. So if you recall that calling, it come out of Deuteronomy. And by the way, we're not meeting tonight because it's Father's Day. But in our Deuteronomy study, we've looked at this a couple different ways. But Deuteronomy 5:16 says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you. I think you even heard Aaron at the beginning of her story talk about that. So if the first message of this series taught us who we should honor and why, then this message will teach us or should teach us how to live honorably in a world that very often, guess what, is not honorable. And I don't think anybody sitting here would disagree with that necessarily. So what I thought we would do is look at 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 17. But as I read through those verses, especially when I get to verse 9, pay attention after that, because Peter's kind of saying, hey, Christian, this is what you ought to look like, right? So if you'll join with me, 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, and we're going to read through 17. And he says, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. And then in verse 9 it says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. And then verse 13 says, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. And then verse 17, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Whew. There's a lot there. And really, I could make, I don't know how many messages, I could probably make a whole series of messages out of what we just read. But I was thinking about these verses, and you know, when we consider the context and the content of that passage, Peter is writing to believers that are scattered across different places. But they're scattered also not just in physical places, but across different cultures. And it's different cultures that didn't share their values. They did not respect their new faith. And they absolutely did not honor their God, the God. Well, and into that, he speaks out of verse 12. He says this, Peter says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. So in other words, they're in a culture that don't want them. Or a culture that is counter to who they are. And Peter says what? Oh, by the way, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. Well, this is why it's important, I think, for us to understand that honor is not just something that we give. Now, we can do that, right? But it is something that we live, or something that we should live each day. So personally, now y'all might have a different idea, but I believe that this lesson, this first part of this lesson especially, is much needed today, not just in our world, but in our churches. I think sometimes we don't allow our conduct to be honorable, even inside the church. Well, it's an important lesson. It's a message also for fathers, for mothers, for children, for families. Guess what? Peter's talking to here, believers. So it's a message for every follower of Jesus Christ. We must learn to live lives of dignity and of honor. It is a message that echoes much better if we read 1 Peter 2:12 from the NIV. So listen to that same verse that I just read to you in ESV, but listen to it in New International Version, the NIV. Because I think the wording there is probably a little bit better for us. It says what? Live such good lives among the pagans. Now, I will say that again. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and do what? Glorify God on the day he visits us. In other words, he says, live such good lives that even when they bring all these accusations, that who that they see who in you? God. Now for us today, who they need to see in us? Jesus. And we've already heard that this morning. We're going to talk about it a little bit more later. But when we live such good lives that people who aren't like us see Jesus, guess what it does? It delivers the message of the gospel, for one thing, and it invites them to come be a part. Do you think living an honorable life is important? Absolutely. Absolutely. So, when I look at this too, one of the things I wanted to point out is that honor begins with your identity. So, it begins with identity. If you go back to verses 11 and 12, the first thing that Peter's talking about there is identity. Look at his language going back a little bit further, even in verse 9. He says, you are, now who's he talking to? The believers, right? New Christians at this time. But so he's talking to us. He says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. That's identity. He's identifying who they are. And then in verse 10, he says, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Have you ever thought about that? Once you were just a person, but now that you're a Christian, you belong to God. You're God's people, right? And then in verse 11, he calls them sojourners and exiles. Do you ever feel like that in the world we live in? When you go out into this crazy world and it seems like nothing around you is familiar or nothing around you aligns with who you are and what you believe in, well, guess what? That makes you a sojourner into that, and it makes you an exile into that. Why? Because you're not like that. So right up front, when we start looking at this, Peter is identifying them. He's putting an identity on them. And what kind of identity is he giving them? He's telling them, you are God's people. I think we need to hear that. Not just here, but in all our churches who love Jesus. I think we need to be reminded, guess what? You're not just you. That's true, but you are you with Jesus. And because you belong to Jesus, that makes you different. And it's okay. It's okay. So, Peter is reminding all believers, because you belong to Jesus, you do not belong to the world's value system. And that's okay. That's okay. You belong to God's value system. And it's important because honor begins with identity. It does not begin with our circumstances. It doesn't even begin with our placement in this world. We don't honor people simply because the world honors them. Boy, y'all know what kind of soapbox I want to get on right now. Especially this month. And I'll just say it. The world right now is honoring a lifestyle that does not please God. So we don't honor just because everybody else is honoring. We are people of God. We love the way God wants us to love, but we absolutely do not honor just simply because somebody said we ought to honor. That makes sense. We honor because we are God's children. We don't live honorably because culture rewards it. We live honorably because Christ has redeemed us and he loves us every step of the way. So hear this, fathers, grandfathers, mentors, and I'm using that because it's Father's Day, but really this can be for anyone. Your influence begins with who you are, not what you do. It is who you are that leads you into what you do. And if you're honoring Christ the way we've been talking about across this series, then guess what you will do? You will do things that please God, honor others, and honor Him every step of the way. People around you, your children, your co-workers, people around you may not remember every little lesson that you teach, but they will remember the life that you lived. You know, and I like how Jackie started, hey, can you remember? We don't remember every little thing about every person in our life, but we have little things that we hold on to. And little things that we hold on to help us to remember their life. And I'll say this, I held back because I wanted to add this at this point in the message. When I was sitting here thinking about my dad was very passive by nature, very humble by nature, but he absolutely loved Jesus. And his life demonstrated that every step of the way. It shapes who you are. It shapes your influence. And for those who maybe didn't have a father in their life who may have modeled this, Peter's words help us remember that our identity is not defined by our past. And we talked about that a lot in our Sunday night series. Is it okay to remember the past? Absolutely. But it's not always okay to live in the past. If you've been rescued and redeemed by Jesus Christ out of the past, then stop going there. That's been taken care of. Leave it alone. Walk away from it. I'll borrow Aaron's words. Run away from it. And run where? To God. To God. Run to the one who has saved you and redeemed you. Our identity is defined by the Father in heaven. And Him alone. And it begins with knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. Now, another thing I wanted to point out. Honor is countercultural, is a countercultural witness. In verses 12 through 15, Peter says things like this. Live such good lives among the pagans. Well, we don't really talk about people and use that terminology anymore. But what's he talking about? The lost. He's talking about the lost. And he's saying, live such good lives among them. He didn't say away from them. I think sometimes in the church we like to isolate ourselves. So Peter's not saying, not away from them, not even against them, but among them. This means that honor, we can't retreat if we want to live an honorable life. It means that we can't go into isolation. Instead, how we honor others stands as a testimony of the honor that's been bestowed to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Did Jesus isolate himself from people? He went to them where they were at. And he intermingled where? Among them. So Peter says, live such good lives among. And since we don't use this word, I'm going to change it to what we would say, the lost. The lost. Scripture says what? It's okay to be in the world, just not of the world. You know that. It gets misinterpreted and misused and misplaced sometimes, right? Remember, this world was made for us by God to experience and enjoy, but it was also made for us, especially when we commit to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, to go out into the world and allow our lives to be a witness in it. If we live honorable lives, loving Jesus Christ, loving others, honoring Jesus, honoring others, guess what? It'll take care of it. It'll take care of it. He goes on and he says this, honor becomes a witness. You say, well, he didn't say that. No, he didn't say it that way, but Peter said it this way. That they may see your good deeds and glorify who? God. Glorify God. When we view honor in this light, it becomes part of our evangelistic work in this world. How many evangelists I got in here? That's what I thought. Nobody wants to volunteer for that, right? You know, nobody's going to volunteer to go out and do evangelistic work. But guess what? All of us are called to that, right? What's the easiest way to do that? Allow your life to reflect Jesus Christ. So when we view honor in this light, it becomes a part of our evangelistic work in the world around us. And here's the thing, it's not the kind that's preached, but the kind that's lived. Fathers, your greatest sermon is not the one you vocalize, but it is instead the one that you live every day. Grandfathers, mothers, the greatest message that you can deliver is the one that you live every day. How you live your life communicates to others a few things. How you manage pressure. How you treat other people. How you respond to conflict. How you carry yourself when life is unfair. How you love your family. How you walk with God. All of those things are very visible to the people around you. So when you live a life of honor, your life is a constant witness that'll either point towards Jesus or it'll point away from Jesus. The other thing, one of the other things that I saw in this, or the Lord showed me in this, in verses 16 and 17, honor is strength, not agreement, right? I think a lot of times we agree with things that we might not necessarily feel right about, right? When the honorable thing to do is what? To be strong in that moment and not agree to be agreeing. You know? And the world wants us to agree to be agreeing. It's all around us. Open your eyes and look around. It's all around us. All around us. Every day. All the time. But Peter, in verses 16 and 17, includes in this lesson a list that feels almost impossible. He says, honor everyone. Well, I don't like that person. Well, that person's not like me. Okay. As a follower of Jesus Christ, figure out how to love that person. Figure out how to honor that person because of Christ, not because of you. Does that make sense? And then he goes on and says, love the church family. Now, I preach about this a lot because it's very important. It's very important. One of the things that breaks my heart is when people talk about how ugly and how distasteful the church is. Now, they don't necessarily mean us, but they're just talking in general. But it breaks my heart. But you know why it breaks my heart? Because at some point in time, they've been involved with a church family that didn't get along. That didn't bring honor to each other. So that's why I preach about it a lot. You know I can't make people do things, and I can't control that, right? But that's why I encourage you to know who you are in Jesus Christ. To love him and love others in the same manner. Because those things are important. They're absolutely important. And if somebody hurts my feelings, is it okay if somebody hurts my feelings? Sometimes it needs to be hurt. But then I got to figure out how to deal with that and process that in a loving way. In a way that doesn't affect the relationship. So we honor everyone. We love the church family. The next one's pretty big. Fear God. That's that respect thing, isn't it? Do we respect the Lord the way we ought to respect the Lord? And what does that mean? Well, that means that we honor him in all that we say and all that we do. You know, that means those little jokes that you find funny that somebody else might find offensive, you hold on to it. When it starts to come out your mouth, take it and put it in your pocket and leave it there. Just as an example. Honor the emperor. I struggle with that one. And that's hard to do in the world we live in today. Because we don't have an emperor. But he says, honor the emperor. Why? Because he's talking to them, and there was an emperor in that day. Do you realize who the emperor was at this time when Peter said that? Nero. Do you know who Nero was? Was he a nice guy? No. If you know anything about Nero, he was brutal. He was not a fun guy to be around, especially as a Christian. He sought Christians out and killed them repeatedly, continuously. He was cruel. He was unstable. He was violent. He was hostile, especially toward Christians. But Peter says, even honor him. Whew. Thanks, Peter. So he informed these early Christians to honor Nero. Why? What Peter was communicating was that we honor through strength under control. Guess what? In today's world, I would say it this way. We vote with strength under control. We put people in office in our country, whether it be local or whether it be through the national scene. Do you vote based on this, or based on what you feel, or what the world tells you you ought to feel? Because as a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm going to go to this before I even go to a piece of paper or a computer screen and decide and make a decision. He was communicating that we honor through strength under control. What's that under control mean? Well, as a follower of Jesus Christ, there you go. Who did Jesus say was going to come to help us when we need it? The Holy Spirit. When we turn our lives over to the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to be in control, then we live a life that's honorable. That's hard to do sometimes. Y'all realize that? It is. Because when that person says something to you, or the world, you know, wants you to conform and lean a certain way, and you know you shouldn't do that, right? You want to do what? Control it yourself sometimes. And what you ought to really do is say, all right, Holy Spirit, I'm fighting on this one. I'm struggling on this one. I'm going to give it to you. And then we'll say, well, man, so-and-so will be mad at me if I do that. Well, let them get mad at you if you follow on Jesus, if you follow on the Holy Spirit. That's where that strength comes from. That's where the strength comes from. Peter was not saying these things. Agree with everyone. He was not saying approve of everything. He was not even saying ignore sin. And he was not saying pretend that everything is fine. Nope. He was teaching that honor is choosing Christ-like character when the world chooses otherwise. Honor is responding with grace when others respond with anger. Honor is living differently because you belong to a different kingdom and fall under a different authority. You see, fathers, men, ladies, your strength is not measured by volume, by dominance, or by control. It is measured by your humility, your patience, your integrity, your compassion, and your faithfulness. Honor is not a weakness. Honor is a Christ-like strength. As you go and spend the rest of the day honoring your fathers, in whatever way that is, remember it. Remember that it's gratitude that honors them. Remember your forgiveness. Remember your prayers. You see, these are acts of honor that reflect the heart of God. And then I'll say this. One of the other things that I think we need to take from this passage is that honor shapes generations, y'all. I hear it all the time. You know, we got to stop being wimpy Christians. We got to stand up and be bold Christians. If we're going to have an impact in this world, well, guess what? Not every one of us are geared that way and built that way. But every one of us are called to what? Follow Jesus Christ, love Jesus Christ, live lives that reflect Him, that point to him instead of away from him. If you live your life in that manner, guess what? You can affect the next generations. What is it they're seeing? Are they seeing world in you, or are they seeing Jesus in you? If they're seeing Jesus in you, then you will absolutely have an effect on that next generation. So I believe it's in Peter's final words, or his final words, that echo the heart of this entire series. You see, we talked about this. Honor is not just an event. It can be a special event, but it's not an event. Honor is not even a moment. And it's definitely not a holiday. Honor, if we listen to what Peter's trying to teach us here, is a way of life. It's a way of life. It shapes our families. It shapes our communities. It shapes our churches. And guess what? If it shapes all those things, it shapes our generations. And on Father's Day 2026, we need to remember, as followers of Jesus, some of us are continuing a legacy of honor. Some of us are beginning one, but all of us are called to live one. Honor is the lifestyle of God's people. The lifestyle of God's people. So here should be our cry today. And listen, if you agree with this cry in your spirit, in your mind, in your heart, then cry that to God. Lord, make me a person of honor in a world that desperately needs your presence. You think that'd be a good cry? Lord, will you make me a person of honor in a world that desperately needs your presence? So whether you're a father, a mother, a son, a daughter, a mentor, or just simply a follower of Jesus Christ, the call is the same. Live honorably, live differently, live as God's people, live in a way that points other people toward Christ. And whether you need salvation, whether you need renewal, whether you need healing, whether you need forgiveness, whether you need courage, you know who stands ready to meet you in that moment? Jesus. Jesus. If you need to, will you come to him? Will you trust him? Will you let him shape your life and lead you to live a life of honor in the days ahead? I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to play a song of invitation. If there at the end, if some of those things are you need salvation, you need renewal, healing, forgiveness, courage. That's what this invitation is for. I invite you to come. I'm here if I can help you. This world can be tough sometimes. And the easiest way through it is with Jesus. And it's just a message, I think, that we need to hear continuously. We need to be reminded of it. We're going to dismiss. I'm going to pray, and I hope you guys have a great time today. Again, we're not going to meet tonight, so go take a nap. That's what I plan to do. But just enjoy the day in the Lord. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the people that have shaped our lives. We recognize that sometimes it was perhaps not a shaping that you would have wanted, but Lord, we do thank you for the way that our lives have been shaped. Thank you for our earthly fathers, our mothers, our grandfathers, our grandmothers, our mentors, our spiritual leaders. Lord, what a blessing they've been. May you continue to strengthen those who lead. May you comfort those who grieve. Heal those who hurt, and empower all of us to live lives of honor. Make us, Father, people who reflect your heart in a world that desperately needs to know your Son, Jesus Christ. And as we go today, Father, we just pray that we live lives that do that. We live lives that point people towards Jesus and not away from him. Help us in those moments. Strengthen us, encourage us, give us what is needed to live that way, to live honorably in your name. We love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. And we pray these things together as a church family. Amen.